Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and challenges and reminds us every day to whom we belong. Amen. Today is Juneteenth. Hopefully you know what that means. It is not my story to tell, so I will not tell it today, but I will encourage you to spend some time learning a little bit more about Juneteenth. It remembers the last two states in the Union, Texas and Louisiana, where finally slaves were freed long after the Emancipation Proclamation. It's important, I think particularly, when we think about this reading from Galatians. It's one I have heard a lot, and I've heard it interpreted many different ways. Now, before faith came, Paul says, we were in prison and guarded under the law until faith will be revealed. The law reminded us, Paul says, about what we were to do and not to do. Whose we are was certainly a part of that. But things like the Ten Commandments reminded us, just lest we should forget, that we shouldn't kill each other randomly, nor should we steal from one another, nor should we take our neighbor's ox or their ass or anything else that is our neighbor's. You know all of them. You shall not bear false witness. And then together with all of that, a host of other reminders about how to be together. And therefore the law, Paul says, was our disciplinarian. Until Christ came. So that we may be justified by faith. I wish it were that easy. I wish in this sort of ideal moment within this letter to the Galatians, we could find ourselves at a point in which we no longer needed the reminders about how to be together. That the faith which was given to us in Christ would so reveal the truth to us that we might be transformed and no longer need the law. It hasn't quite worked out. Turns out, even people of faith, the beloved of God, need to be reminded sometimes about how we ought to be together. We are no longer subject, Paul says, to a disciplinarian. For in Christ you are all children of God through faith. What does that mean for you? To be a child of God through faith. Well, the first thing that popped into my mind, because of my contrarian by nature, was, well, which faith are you talking about? One of the gifts and difficulties of being Christian is there is all kinds of Christians. Every sort that you can imagine under the sun, each with their own interpretation about who God is or was or will be. We have spent 2,000 years arguing about it, and we're still waiting for a resolution. We can't even agree as Lutherans what kind of Christians we're going to be. All of that is a witness not to our failure, but to the complexity of being human in the world. You see, what Paul proclaims is freedom. And freedom is complicated, complex. difficult. So when Paul says to us, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus, I think at an intellectual and maybe even a spiritual level, we know what Paul is going for. To be one is not the same as to be the same. It's a subtle but really important difference. When we think about who we are as a congregation and who we are as a church, we sometimes miss what that means. I remember going to an anti-racism workshop several years ago, and this text was brought up, and this person said, well, you see, we just don't see color. We just don't see culture. We're all one. And the person leading the workshop said, that is exactly the problem. We are not all the same. One of the struggles here in America is that the expectation was always, and still is in many cases, that if you are not white and European, you should try to become one in order to fit in. And it was a real pressure. So when we talk about diversity and equity and inclusion, it occurs to me that if we look at least in terms of the gospel, our goal is not to include others into our white European world, but to include ourselves in the rest of the world. It's a different way to look at power. It's a different way to look at what it means to love. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Means that the oneness comes from our createdness, from our very being as children of God, and we are one in that. In all of our variety and differences and hopes and dreams and cultures, there is no expectation, at least in this letter, at least as I understand God, that we will all be the same, or believe the same, or experience God in the same way, or call on God with the same prayers, or the same music, or the same hopes, or the same fears. But we are called together. Together. That day when Jesus encountered the Gerasim demoniac, Jesus left what he knew, the safety of his own tribe, his own people, and he crossed the lake, and there he encountered this one who had been cast out from society, chained up, filled with demons. It turns out it will be the last trip that Jesus takes into Gentile territory in the Gospel of Luke. But in that encounter, incredible things happen. Yes, the man is healed. He reaches out to Jesus. He sees, the demon sees, who Jesus is. And Jesus heals him. And there he is, standing unchained and in his right mind, as the people come back, the one who was separated out for his mental health finds himself again back in community. And what was the crowd's response? Do you remember? Praise Jesus. You've healed this man. Please come into our village and heal the rest of us. Come to dinner, Jesus. We're so glad. This is the greatest evangelistic tool we've ever seen in our whole lives. Come into our homes. We're filling our churches. This is going to be great. Was that it? A different book. That was just fantasy gospel. They ask him to leave. What he did was simply too much, too soon. And yet the man remains. He wants to go with Jesus, right? Wouldn't you? Can I just hitch a ride with you, Jesus, and hang out? And Jesus is like, no, go back to your home and tell them what you have seen. You have been restored to the one. Now tell the world. You are no longer seen as the chained, crazy man, the different one, the one outside, the one who didn't fit in. You are now part of your community again. We may need that same healing these days. In a time in our country where racism is burying itself publicly in ways that we have not experienced for decades, maybe we need our chains taken off. Our eyes opened anew. Maybe the law that has bound us for so long has turned out not to be enough to keep us in check. And maybe the gospel has not yet taken hold of us enough that we might stand with voices as one body in Christ to speak against that which tears us apart. Racism, misogyny, intolerance, all of those things we see rampant even in our own lives, and dare I say it, even in our own selves. And yet we are called to be one in Christ. As I told the kids in the children's sermon, every one of us has been bound to God and to one another in water and word and hope. We refuse to abandon ourselves to hopelessness or the way of a world that continues to draw us from each other, intolerance and hope. And maybe it's sanguine and maybe it's too simplistic, but by gum, I'm telling you, when I feel that water on my fingers and I put it on my forehead, I am reminded again and again that Christ is with each of us. And that we are bound as one by the Holy Spirit that moves and weaves through us even now. For myself, I pray for the courage of transformation. I pray for the courage of confession. I pray for the courage to do something, anything. It is true that in Christ there is no longer Jew or Greek or black or white or Asian or male or female or differently abled. All of those things are true because we are beloved of God. The question is, can we embrace the gospel to see that in one another? It is already the gift of God. It's already been bestowed on us. And so from this place, we remember on this Juneteenth our oneness that is unhindered by sameness. Our being gathered together in the community of Christ that celebrates diversity and equity. And we pray to be included with all of God's children and with all of God's creation in this wonderful enterprise of life. For God is with you even now, in this moment, and forever. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day. It's in the ELW number 843.